Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Just Press Start here from here at JustPressStart.net. Wow, apparently Jeff has been drinking this evening. that's a good start. So let me switch things right over to Luke. Luke, what's going on? Because apparently I can't introduce tonight.
Well, what's going on is we're going to have our little bit of a podcast that we like having called Just Press Start.
Oh, right, that.
Just Press Start offices located on the east coast of the U.S., okay. Am I jogging the memory yet?
East side. Yep, got it.
Okay, good.
And also joining us, as he has been lately, our good buddy Dave. Dave, welcome aboard again.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Good to be back.
It's good to have you back.
And notice he sounds 100% more professional.
Yeah. No, I decided to kind of come back into the 21st century here and get some real recording equipment.
New microphone, FTW, as the core gamers would say.
We're all about the core gamers here.
We are core gamers here. Okay, so I guess we should explain to the people who have not been agitated by this clip yet what we're talking about. On Giant Bomb today, and also all over the interwebs, as people like to there is a new video called Fable the Journey Before and After the Magic. And it's supposed to be a live... Well, it's supposed to be a real testimonials from real gamers about how incredibly exciting and wonderful Fable the Journey is for the Kinect. And it's not on rails. I will not hear otherwise. So, gentlemen, you watched the video with me. Jen watched the video with me this afternoon. What's one word you'd use to describe it?
Wow.
Yeah.
Paid.
Yes, featuring such comments as... I like to play all the games I can, and I own most of the systems. You realize, I think I own most of the systems. I own a 360, so that's most – and a Wii. So that's most of the systems right
you,
there.
Look at that, Jeff. You own 75% of the systems including –
And I do try to play all the games that I can. The ones that I can't, I just stare at. You know, it's tragic, really.
Why can't I play you?
I just keep watching the opening crawl over and over. this button is confusing.
Hey, we're all core gamers here, yo.
Yes, that's the other thing they keep describing. We're gamers. We are core gamers. You know, and they don't just give that title out to anybody. We're core gamers. Core.
Yeah, I wear Nintendo t-shirts. That makes me a core gamer.
There was a great comment on Giant Bomb about that. One of the people saying, those video game shirts were completely spotless and pristine. I call shenanigans.
All right. I don't call shenanigans on the N7 t-shirt because I personally would take care of that, like, so well.
Yeah, and I'm sure that paid actress is a big fan of the game N7 and all of its sequels.
I kind of wish I was there for the video recording so I could walk up to her and go, "Do you even know what N7 means?"
Well, it's the seventh iteration of the game N. I mean, duh.
Right. Nice. So that would be technically N plus 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 plus.
There you go.
And X minus 3. Oh, man. Okay, so we're obviously going to have
the accent. Come on now. The real.
Oh, yes. Yes. The first guy on here sporting the pink trucker hat with the mustache on it, which is swank.
Like a sir.
Oh, yeah. And he's got some sort of accent. It's like they said sound foreign, but they didn't really give him much more than that. It sounds like he's trying to do a cross between Boston and Australian. So I believe you, Dave, you referred to it as
Australian.
Australian, yes. Yeah. Or I said an Australian Southie. I wasn't sure which.
Upon further review, I'm thinking that his neck beard might be constricting his vocal cords, and that's what's actually doing that.
That is a magnificent soup strainer he's got there too. We're gonna definitely link this up here so all of you can see that you as core gamers, because everyone who listens to this show, I consider a core gamer, should be very excited about Kinect Fable, which is clearly not on rails and is hands down, the greatest non-sucky Kinect game ever.
Oh. Ever. If we only recorded video for this podcast, Because Jeff probably was sitting there doing the hands down and actually throwing his hands down like the idiot in the video.
You know, I actually did.
And you could see me holding my head, shaking it as Jeff goes through this explanation.
But the best part of the whole video, though, is the other guy. And I said, once you watch the video, you'll see it. He raises his hand and he's got this majestic yet smug look. So I'm sure the direction was, all right, we need you to look smug and supercilious at the same time. Can you perfect take and print nicely done?
Are you talking about the one where he squeezes his hand closed?
He squeezes his hand closed and he kind of gives that, and then he starts bouncing up and down and like squeeing.
Yeah.
I
personally like the dude that all of a sudden got up there and started throwing the kung fu moves at it.
Oh, serious face was serious. Yes, him. Now, we're not allowed to mock him too much because, as Jen said, he did have gorgeous eyes.
Nice.
But we were talking about it. So, you know, obviously, you know, the groaning from the internet is everywhere. So we were talking about it, though, and... You know, clearly no research went into this. You know, I kind of wanted to go on Giant Bomb and make that my comment, that of all the tropes they invoked, did not do the research was the most egregious. But just some helpful advice to Lionhead Studios. The way you want to do this is, you know, actually see how gamers talk. We would have been okay with it had you done it in such a way that the way we actually talk to each other. If I'm playing a game and I'm at some sort of conference or something like that and I'm there by myself, if somebody were to say to me, what do you think? I'd be like, oh, this is pretty interesting. I might try this. I wouldn't be jumping up and down and squeeing. If I was there with a group of friends and we're all playing it, I'm sure it would be more natural if we're all like, dude, that was sick, that kind of thing. If they had done it that the people were interacting with each other as they were playing it, it wouldn't have been so horrible. It was just so patently – the kids say the things like, I'm the hardcore – or I'm sorry, the core, and I like all the games. It was just – it's just insulting, you know, and it clearly wasn't meant to be.
Hey, Jeff, there is one thing to mention here, though. Liongate did step up on this one.
Did they?
Yes, because at least they didn't send out Peter Molyneux.
Peter Molyneux no longer works for Lionhead.
Hey, see, look, they're right there. Stepping even, the right
he was
direction.
Like, I'm out. It's not on rails, but I am. I'm out.
Because that video would only be creepier if Peter Molyneux walked out and started.
Well, he's busy promoting that curiosity box thing. So, you know, he doesn't have time to be talking about the core.
Neglecting the core.
I'm sorry. I've always thought of Peter Molyneux as the creepy pedophile type, which is bad of me. Then again, did you see how much, you know, emotion he put in when he demonstrated the whole Milo thing when they first decided to come out with Kinect?
I don't even want to discuss that anymore. But you know, just last thing before we move on from this and we introduce our mystery guest. Again, just a little bit of marketing research. It's like those episodes of NCIS. Or CSI, where they try to make it look like, hey, we know computers. Clearly somebody had to say, guys, gamers don't sound like this. For God's sake, you work with them. Look around. You're in a big thing with gamers. Go talk to one. I know they're kind of creepy, but, you know, don't approach them too rapidly. They won't scatter.
And, no sudden moves.
Offer them a Mountain Dew to placate them, their skittishness, and you know... But, you know, I guess you don't want real gamers in this because real gamers were never going to be excited about Fable on Rails. I'm sorry, it's not on Rails. It is not on Rails.
Clearly not on Rails.
Do not make me repeat myself.
Hey, Jeff, is it not on Rails?
I think it might be. But I've heard, I have it from reliable core gamer sources that it is not. Oh, just good. So instead of, ah, Ubisoft this week, we can just say, oh, Lionhead. We have our thing.
And oh, Microsoft, because they are Microsoft. Kind of behind it as well. So, oh, insert game company here.
Well, Chris, didn't you pick an interesting point to pop in this evening? Let us introduce once again, coming back to us after 40 episodes of not being part of the program, Chris Sikowski, the maker of the game that was just released for the Summer Uprising, City Tuesday. Chris, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thank you very much. It's good to be back. And I have to apologize. I am sorry about the late arrival here. I tried to kick somebody out of my office and didn't go as fast as I thought it would be.
That is quite all right. So obviously we were just shredding poor Lionhead poor Lionhead and Microsoft for the, I don't know if you've seen it. We'll post it up on the site later, Chris. The Fable, the Journey before and after the Magic video.
Ooh, I'll have to check that out.
You'll definitely. Well, only if you're a core gamer, Chris. If you're not a core gamer, then I don't think you want to get anywhere near this thing.
Is this about P90X?
Nice.
Yeah, play a Magic game on rails and work your abs. See, Jeff, that's how you could have.
Not on rails. How many times am I going to tell you that?
Somebody else on the Giant Bomb board suggested that what's inside the curiosity box when they finally finish that is going to be this dude's hat.
Nice.
So I think that very well could be it. But anyway, let us change topics for a minute. Chris, again, welcome back to the program. City Tuesday was just released. So how does it feel? It's been quite a while since we've had you on. The game is out now. So talk to us a little bit. What was that like?
I've got to say, it is such a relief. I have a backlog of video games that I have to play going back to Dead Space. So I, you know, just having that off of my shoulders and to actually have something to show for it, I think is in upon itself just a magical thing. I mean, I'm just kind of like in a hot tub of my own creation of good feelings. Right, this past week, it was exactly a week ago today that it released. So yeah, it's been a pretty nice week.
I'm sure it has. So besides the backlog, tell me again, we ask developers this all the time, but what's that like right before you hit send or hit upload or whatever that button, that magic button is? Because we just imagine that there's the one mouse click that finally commits you to go public. So take me through clicking that button.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go back a little bit further. Just 3 days before, where it's like you've got to get this thing uploaded and passed this review, and it is like every exam that you had to take in school just multiplied, because it's like, what if you took the exam and then everybody could look at your answers and which ones you missed? Because when you upload a game, you know that any bugs that you have or the crashes or anything, or you miss your deadline, you're in big trouble, and the internet is going to be, you know, nerd center. What nerds do to people, you know, who miss something.
Now,
that's
Chris,
what it's going to be
Chris,
like.
Chris, wait 1 second. As I've said before, apparently, according to Microsoft, you get the first patch free. So, again, too soon. Sorry.
Too soon, dude.
Well, yeah. No selfish here, but so it's super stressful. You just get ultimate stress. And then you push the button, and then you just hope. And then it goes out there, and you don't hear anything bad, no bugs or anything. And then it's just such relief. And like, it really is a wave it's a very similar feeling to after you've done your test, you know, in college or high school or whatever. And after you pass that final and you're done with it, and you can just like, literally you can feel it leaving your brain. Like you can just don't have to think about facts anymore, or you don't have to think about bugs anymore. It's like, you can actually like just tell your brain, please forget this. You can just free up that space on your mind anymore, which is very similar to what it's like when you release a game. You're like, okay, you don't have to worry about fixing that bug anymore. You don't have to worry about getting this thing ready. You're done. So that's kind of what it feels like. It's a pretty euphoric feeling.
Now, have you been frantically like refreshing your whatever screen you get? I think, isn't there some sort of screen that lets you track your metrics as far as sales and reviews and things like that? So, I mean, have you just gone, I'm done. I can't even worry about it anymore. Or do you sit there and go, oh, must know.
Well, the thing is, like, for sales, because it's on Xbox Live right now, I know they're going to be bad. It's going to like just dishearten me because nobody plays Xbox Live Arcade. The main thing is, I'm actually more concerned about what people say and what people think. Like that's kind of why I made it. I made these games because I wanted to I have an opinion on the way video games should run mm-hmm. or the way they should be made. And so this is my answer to be like, hey, this is what I think video games are. Here it is, world. What do you think about the way I think about video games? And so it's more like I want to hear what people say, like, hey, I like the way you did this, or, you know, hey, that was an interesting take on something. So it's more Twitter that I like obsessively like refresh or search. I've got like four different ways of searching, you know, for different things I want to hear about. And so that is the thing that I am obsessively refreshing is just the feedback.
Well, how has the early buzz been? So a week in, what kind of things have you been hearing?
Well, okay. So the first, you know, I'm part of the Uprising, the right. Indie Game Uprising, which is this great collection of guys. It's like a super group of it feels like going on a tour with a bunch of bandmates. It's almost like a little Lollapalooza or something, but we're all virtually sitting on our chairs and stuff, just releasing our game. So that's in the India Uprising. City Tuesday was luckily enough picked for one of these. And so what happened was I was able to just put that out there. And the first feedback is very positive. In other words, people really are taken by the visuals of it. And that's the most, I'd say, important thing about the game right now is just, hey, how it looks. It's got this very visual style of looking like signs about how to ride the subway or how not to like catch on fire or put out or not slip on the floor or something. So mm-hmm. that's the basic visuals, and people take to that very well. The second reaction, which the one that kind of hits my heart a little bit, is people say it's too short, which I agree. It's, you can finish this game. I'm not making anything. I consider this game a novella where you can finish this game in about a half an hour. And I have to admit, I'm one guy making this game. So I have no, you know, I can't really argue with them. Yeah, it's a short game, but I think it says a lot in that time that it's there. And there's a lot that's very different about it. And so I'm a little disappointed with some of the reaction to how short it is. I don't know. Some people have made good points that maybe it's a pacing thing. It's, you can have a half hour game. That's no problem. It's just pacing and whether this game is all tutorial or not. So I've had to do a lot of like philosophical thinking about what did I just put out there? What is this? Because people will find things about your game that you didn't even know. Mm-hmm. Like they'll interpret things that you didn't even thought of yet. So I think that's a really interesting thing to see when people talk about games. So yeah, that's it. And but very positive, and nobody's crashed. I haven't heard any crash reports. So cross my fingers. Either, you know, people are just playing it, you know, just in very nice with nice gloves, or not trying to break it, or I actually made a game that doesn't blow up in their face. So very happy about that.
Well, that's now. See, you make an interesting point about the length of the game. So we were kind of talking about that. For example, I don't know if you're familiar with Blendo games.
Oh, I just the first game I played after I released was 30 Flights of Loving.
So. Right, that's exactly where I was going to go. So that game I think is about 15 minutes, half an hour long, correct?
That's correct. Yeah,
but
it is.
Those, it really couldn't be much like its predecessor. It really couldn't be any longer.
Yeah.
So is that kind of what was going through your head when you made City Tuesday, or was it?
No, it absolutely was. I mean, I think for me, the story and the point that I was trying to make, I don't think lived up to, it didn't have to be told in a super long format. I mean, I think I love short stories. I actually like reading short stories more than I like reading novels. So I'm glad to see that we have this marketplace now, which I think is pretty new, where you can have a vision and you can be one guy and you can create this vision and put it out there and have people think about it. And it's like when you're a guy, just one dude, which is the same thing with Blendo, it's just one dude, you can make a very personal piece, very personal, but you don't have to spend a super long time, and you can't spend that much time because you're just one dude.
Right.
So you can't do it. And I think video games and the public are starting to come around to that. And the other one to mention is Dear Esther. I always put an extra H in there. I don't know if I should like Dear Esther, but I think it's just Dear Esther. So that's another very similar game. Very personal. I think it took me a half an hour just because I got lost in the light cave and I fell down the waterfall a few times, but Other than that, yeah, it's a very short game that you can very personal. So I think people are coming around to this as a different format.
Most definitely. So what are you most looking forward to? You said you've got the backlog dating all the way back to Dead Space. What are you most looking forward to that you missed in the past year or longer?
Okay, well, I've just been total binge. I went through all the short games like Dear Esther and 30 Flights of Loving, Bastion.
Yes.
Yeah, so I've been really trying to hit those games that and Dead Space, and I've just been really trying to hit these games that I've just missed just because I've been working on this game so long. And then I think once I kind of get through those experiences that I know are going to take me like 10 minutes or 10 hours or less, I think I'm ready to tackle like Civilization 5 or FTL, like a game where you can just like pour yourself into. So I want to kind of get this like sensation games, because I think all those games like Bastion and 30 Flights of Loving, they're like sensation games. Like you get yourself in there and you just mm-hmm. inject yourself with their like feeling, because they're just like about a feeling. And then I want to take on the big games where it's like you have to learn the game, you know, like an FTL or Civilization 5. And so I want to get the feelings out of the way and then just dunk myself in those games.
So he's trying to get all the emotional relationships done early so he can go to the more casual ones later. Sorry, that's what it sounded like to
me. You do have to kind of go at it that way, yeah.
Yeah, definitely set aside some time if you're going to do FTL, because I played it when it was an alpha. I was one of the only people in the world who had a copy of it. And even when it was – I wrote this in my review that it's going to go up soon too, plug, that even when it was completely unfinished like that, I would have paid full price for it. So the fact that it's $10 now in the state that it's in currently is the steal of the century. So make sure you have some time.
Yeah, definitely.
So I want to kind of switch gears for a minute too. So let's plug City Tuesday one more time. We'll make sure we plug it again before the end of the program. So City Tuesday is out on XBLIG currently. It is 80 points?
80 space buck Microsoft dollars, dineros. It is available. I don't even know how to navigate to it. So maybe if you guys could put a marketplace link.
Notes will have a marketplace link. Don't worry.
Yeah, the easiest way is if you tweet me and say, how do I buy your game? And then I send you that's probably the easiest way to buy something on Xbox Live.
At Adventure Mountain, that's Adventure MTN.
Thank you very
listening.
Much.
That's the one.
That's why I pay this man right here.
Whoa. I'm getting paid? Awesome.
Yeah. Oh, man. Dave.
Everybody check under your chairs. Check under your chairs. No, just kidding.
Dave, I think we need to have another show meeting.
Check under your chairs. Nice.
So, Chris, we talked about this last week on the program. I don't know if you heard it or not. We were talking about the kerfuffle, about Terraria, how upset gamers are now that Terraria is going to be released on the consoles with a bunch of additional content. And now let me state for the record, because people, I don't know if everybody knows this, the original developer is involved to a very slight degree in this re-release. It's more just kind of a consulting role. So let me ask you, as a fellow developer, what's your take on this? I mean, are you even aware of the controversy? And if so, what is your take on what do developers owe, quote unquote, their fans, they're the people who originally supported him?
Okay, Terraria is on my get back list. It's on the, it's not the sensation list, it's on the deep dive list. So okay. It's going to be a little bit longer before I get to deep dive into that mm-hmm. one. So I haven't played Terraria, but it's on the list. No, I wasn't aware of that kerfuffle. I mean, I don't know what the story is with him and what he thinks about it, but I don't know. I mean, I think if he's okay with it, it's not like it's not being stolen from him, right? What's his?
No. That's not the controversy is gamers, I mean, like a million, some million, 2 million, however many millions of copies of Terraria were sold for Steam. And he said that he was not going to come back to this at all. So he was no longer supporting it really. And he said, he told gamers, I'm moving on to my new project, whatever that was going to be. But then it turns out that one of the new projects was the console release of Terraria with all this additional content that the PC will not receive. So people are screaming, well, we deserve it on PC because we supported you, we made you kind of thing. And he's saying, well, I'm not really involved in it. So it's just kind of one of those, you know, as a developer, where, I mean, fans.
I side with that guy. I know what that guy's feeling. Mm-hmm. I mean, here's the thing is, this game, City Tuesday, I'm going to put it out on PC. I will. I have to. Just because I think it's... I get asked so many times about PC. But the thing is, like, I feel so done with this game. Like, I feel done. Like, I don't even... You know, I'm like, God, I'm already thinking, like, during the whole development of City Tuesday, I had notes written out, like, hey, this is what I want to do this game. I want to come up with this idea. I want to come up with this. Like, when you're making a game and you're deep in it, game developers, I don't know about coders, because I'm not really a coder. I'm more of a, even though I coded all of City Tuesday, I don't really like it. I wanted to get the game out of me. I wish I could have drawn the game. Like, I wish I could just draw it on paper and it would come out and I didn't even have to think about it. I could just be like, here, this is exactly what I want. See it? Every time I was coding, I was like, I cannot get this out fast enough. I cannot. And so, because I wanted to just, I had the vision. It's just so hard to implement. And the thing is, I know what this guy for Terraria is doing. He feels the same way. He got Terraria out and it was a huge success and it was his vision and he's done with it. All right. He's worked, he put his blood, sweat and everything in it. And it's like, and now somebody wants it on console. And it is hard to make a console game because the resources are so limited. And luckily, these people who paid for it have paid enough that he can, I think, hire, contract out for people to make it for him. Because to make a game for console is so hard that I know exactly what he's feeling like. He's like, I just can't put my heart into this again and do it again for this stuff. So he's doing it just to help people as much as he can. He knows people want to play it on a console, but they just can't do it. So that's why he's doing it for consoles, because he wants to, but he doesn't want to put his heart into it. He's got more things. He's got that list, that same list that I did when I was making City Tuesday, and he wants to make those. And I'd say, fans, let him do that. Let him make that other stuff that he wants. If you really love him, set him free, basically. But, like, let him go. Like, but, I just, please, kids, let this guy go. Let him do what he wants.
What about the fact that he's actually putting more content into the Xbox version but not releasing that to the diehard PC fans?
Well, from your standpoint, it looks like that. It looks like he's like giving the FU to the fans of the PC. But here's the thing is, it's not like he's specifically flicking the people off. I know what he's doing. I know from versioning, here's probably what's happening is he's probably paying this other company to port his game for him, and they're along the way making stuff. And he can't go back and take that content and put it into his old game. Like, it's too hard. Like, when you're coding a game, by the end of it, it's held together with duct tape. It basically is, especially if you're a one-man team like this guy. I don't know how many teams, but it's probably held together with duct tape. And if you put anything in there, he's going to break his original Terraria. And he's going to have to then spend time to fix it, to put this other content in there. And when he does that, it's going to kill his game. And then he's going to have to spend more time fixing those bugs for the original Terraria. So he sees that, and he doesn't want to do that. He's got other games he wants to work on. He wants to move on, basically. I mean, I think if he could wave the magic wand, he would do that. But I can see from a developer standpoint, I have a feeling he just can't do it.
And even from a pure business, because Jen and I were talking about this again today, from a pure business standpoint, the people who own Terraria own it. So it's been out for, what, a year, 2 years? So the chances of getting new gamers on the PC market are pretty slim. I mean, if you know about Terraria, you either own it or you have no interest in it. So to go to consoles, of course you want to dangle a carrot of, hey, by the way, this is the PC favorite with all this other stuff.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. That's a good point. I mean, the main thing is I feel bad for this guy. I really do. I mean, from a developer standpoint, I mean, God, guys, just let him go. Please let the poor man make his games. Because here's the thing is, if he doesn't do this, because the reason he doesn't want to put it on PC is because he's going to have to put this content on PC. He's going to have to put more work and more life and more blood into that when he could be making something new. So I'd rather see something new from this guy than to see him try and get his versions lined up and get this new content in that thing. I mean, it's just, hey, such is life.
Well, I think that's an interesting place to probably let that one go. We have another developer type question for you. See, it's a good thing you were here today. Dave, I'd like you to introduce, since you found this article, could you introduce the Lightmare Studio article that you wanted to talk about this evening?
Well, I'd come across an article for an independent gamer basically getting ready to release a game. At first, I'd kind of looked at the article that maybe he was kind of doing a PR stunt because he'd hit some of the larger websites out there to kind of promote this article. But it's entitled The Piracy Fallacy. And what he goes on in a rather long article to basically go on and talk about is saying that he, as a independent gamer, or I'm sorry, independent developer, doesn't believe that piracy, or at least the DRM that is being employed right now to try to stop piracy, is actually doing anything. One of his main arguments is that the damage that's done by piracy to sales themselves can't particularly be quantified. And this is something we've talked about before in the show and different things like that. And so what his model is that developers need to release larger demos and kind of a try before you buy type of mentality. So, you know, some of the gamers don't feel like they're getting into a trap when they're paying either full price or even near full price for games that they ultimately are going to put 5 minutes in and absolutely hate. It's kind of an interesting spin where this guy has put his heart and soul into this game that he's putting out, and in this article he's essentially saying, look, I'm going to release this without any kind of gotchas in hope that you as a gamer respect that and will download it, and will buy it. It's kind of a throwing caution to the wind of being an honor system type of thing, and we kind of wanted to know from a independent developer yourself, what your stand on something like that might be.
I don't know.
Not to put you on the spot or anything, Chris.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at this. I just found his article. I don't know. I'd say with DRM, I'm not going to put DRM on my game when I release it on PC, just because I don't even know how I would do that. I think my game's going to be DRM free because I'm too lazy to try and figure out how to do DRM. Again, it comes back to, I'd rather make a game than DRM
right.
policies or something. So that's the reason I'm not going to do it. I guess I could write this cool essay for him, like it's some sort of thing. I mean, I think... I don't know. With DRM, I don't know. I've never been offended when somebody puts DRM on their game, because I kind of see where they're coming from. Like, I don't know, Ubisoft, and they're the ones that everybody always hates because of DRM, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, their main problem is the always on DRM, where you have to have an active internet connection, and if for whatever reason that internet connection fails, your game saves are going to take and stuff like that.
Hasn't Steam worked too? I mean, I've been on Steam and my internet connection was bad and I couldn't launch Steam, so I couldn't launch my games. Is that the same thing?
Similar, but the Ubisoft thing, they have since rescinded this, and it's just like to first get into your game. Steam can be launched. Once you get online, you can go into an offline mode and have access to everything.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's never bothered me if there's DRM for some reason. Like if I have to jump through a hoop to get to DRM, I don't know. It's never been that big of an issue for me. I know people get so mad about when DRM's on something. So I guess I don't have a strong opinion because I don't hate it when somebody puts DRM on there. I know as a gamer with my gamer hat on, I should be like offended that there's DRM on there, but I don't know. It never bothers me. I figure There's bigger issues in the world. I mean, there's kids that don't eat.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There are kids who do not have food. So I don't know. I just can't get my nerd rage boner on for DRM either way, yes or no. So I guess I'm not the good one to ask, but here it is. Okay. If you want a strong opinion, free to play. That I think is the best form of DRM because it's free. And you can charge people, and you can still earn your money. And there's no way you can pirate DRM or in-app purchases or whatever free to play, because you can't pirate that because it's free anyway. I think that's an awesome solution to this. I actually am not anti free to play. I think that's pretty cool. I don't know. What do you guys think about free to play?
I think it works. I mean, I think initially there was the thing that, well, you get what you pay for. But I think it's now that some of the bigger games, Old Republic is going to go free to play, DC Universe, things like that, where Super Monday Night Combat, games that are showing that this model does work. You can have an enjoyable experience. Just because it's free doesn't mean that it's a crummy game. And you can have those perks if you choose to do it. I think that it's showing that it is definitely a viable alternative.
Yeah. I think the thing is, with DRM and free-to-play, it's very good for a specific type of game. If it's a strategy game or a shooter, you know, a game where you're going to sink a lot of time, hey, open it up, let them play for as long as you want, because, hey, they're going to – the fun of the game is being in it. It's, again, it's that thing between experiences of games like a Bastion or a 30 Flights of Loving versus a game you want to jump into and live your life in, which is like a Minecraft, or I think this Beware Planet Earth, which is the guy that wrote this piece. His game seems to be that, or all those other like TF2, where you're in the world and you spend hours and hours and hours. But for a short game like 30 Flights of Loving, you can't do that. You can't say, hey, we'll give you a 20-minute demo and extend the demo so you don't pirate my game, so I respect you. You can't do that. You have to buy it or you don't play it. You know, it's like you can't do it. And it's like a one-shot experience. Like, hey, you get this 15 minutes of fun, and it's a weird experience, and you live it, and you soak it in, and then it's done, and it's gone. You can throw it away. You're never going to play it again. And that you can't do free to play for that. You can't do. I guess you have to lock it up with DRM, because as soon as somebody plays it, it's done. That experience is a one shot experience, and so you have to kind of be protective of that stuff. Otherwise, nobody's going to buy it. I guess, you know.
But I'm intrigued by the fact that he said that pirates are not thieves, quote unquote. They're customers who haven't paid yet. So I find that an intriguing way of going about it. I don't know that I agree with that. I tend to think that somebody who pirates something, it is a lost sale, because it's still a copy of something that is out there that didn't exist before. But
yeah, I mean, I to full disclosure, I pirated SimCity 4, and I played the hell out of that game, and I never paid a dime for it. And I was like, I don't know, I probably should have. I probably should have paid something, because I spent so much time playing that game.
You were young and innocent then, though.
I know. I just was out of college. I didn't have a job at that time. So, I mean, I feel bad for it, but I don't know. I don't know.
That mentality is where I kind of see things break down, because the people of that mindset that are going to do that regularly, once they have the game, chances are of them turning around and buying it are fairly slim.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think if any game that I have pirated, I don't think I've ever gone around and paid for it later.
Right, exactly.
I'm trying to think.
Let me give them some money. Yeah.
Then I guess I must be in the minority, because, you know, I'll come out and say that I have pirated stuff, and I do find myself, not all the time, if I like the game, I'll find myself actually trying to acquire a legitimate copy of the game. But if I don't, I just kind of let it go by the wayside. And I was the same with music way back in the day when you know, Napster was all the rage. And I can name off some of my absolute favorite bands right now that I pirated the hell out of their music, but then turned around and ended up buying every CD, going to 4 concerts, and then in some cases, or at least in one case, getting their tattoo on my leg. So,
well, that was after the cease and desist, right?
How does Nickelback go? Do you go up the leg, or is it like around the thing? Which way does Nickelback face?
Oh man.
That was good. That was good.
It's actually a cranberry tattoo.
Yeah. Is it like a butterfly coming out of your butt crack or anything? Or oh, you said leg. That's leg. Right.
I was sure to make sure to say leg so that people wouldn't sit there and be like, oh, X has a tramp stamp.
Yes. Man, I was going to have a snack, but that visual just ended that. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate that.
Well, okay, here's the thing. You mentioned concerts. And I think the music industry, we can't really compare music industry to game industry, because there's concerts. I'd say concerts are kind of like free to play, right? I mean, it's like you, if you want the full experience, if you want to see the person, if you want to have that drunk chick next to you trying to mouth the words, if you want to see that stuff, you have to pay extra. Like the base price, you can pirate stuff or get it on Pandora for basically free. But if you want to get the full experience, you pay more. And I think that's kind of, I think free to play is, paying for free to play is like going to a concert. I think that's kind of the same model. And I think that's the new revolution.
I like it.
But see, the thing is, that doesn't work for all things. Like music, it always works because you'll listen to a same song over and over again. Like you'll listen to music over. But like my game, City Tuesday, nobody's going to play this game more than one time, maybe twice. So it only works in specific things. I mean, is there ever a song, maybe like a Weird Al song or something? But still, some people listen to that over and over again. But I mean, there's really no songs where you listen to it one time, enjoy it, and don't listen to it again, right?
I can't really think, like you said, other than, well, even novelty songs, like you said, like Gangnam Style right now, I've listened to that and watched that video probably a half dozen times.
I know, I can't stop watching that thing. So
open Gangnam Style. Oh, I'm sorry.
Wow, it's like Psy is here in the room.
Yeah.
So in other gaming news today, and once again, I'm curious to get the... We're going to keep calling you the developer because it just sounds so cool that we can do that.
I have a scarf on, so I'm feeling it.
Does it say developer?
No, it's like an indie developer scarf, you know? That's what they always have to have.
And perhaps a monocle? It seems like the kind of thing.
Yeah. A little...
For the couple dozen people who still play WoW, Mists of Pandaria came out today. So anybody who wanted to get their panda fix on today, that all stayed home from work, and 6 million people or 12 million people or however many millions of people all went on to play as pandas this morning. So Jen, because Jen is a big fan of Blizzard in general, went on the Blizzard website to see what kind of angry nerdisms were going on today, because people pissed and moaned so much about Diablo 3. So we were curious to see how the launch went for Mists. And the first thing... obvious, there were people on there screaming, the servers are down, the servers are acting up, or this is happening, or that is happening. Now, I understand being frustrated. I understood being frustrated with Error 37, even though it never happened to me. But my question is, since you did a music metaphor here, I'm going to do one too. If I go on Ticketmaster 10 minutes before a concert, you know, before my concert tickets come on, and I keep trying to get on, and it's locked up or whatever, I think, oh man, servers must be busy because there are a lot of people. There's 10,000 people trying to buy these tickets. But I don't see people having these anger attacks. Die, Ticketmaster! You guys owe us refunds for the concert tickets I didn't get because I missed out on Bruce Springsteen because I couldn't get on your server. So why is it that they expect... for like Pandaria, 6, 7 million, 10 million people are going to try and get on this thing today. They might have a little bit of difficulty getting on some of the instances, and some of the quests might take a little bit of time. There might be a queue.
Let's see. I'm trying to figure out nerd rage, like how much of it is actually there. Like, I don't know.
And how many people really are angry? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, some people might be, but I guess the closest analogy is if you try and buy a game on day one, back before digital, and you had to like go to different shops to try and find that one copy, and you couldn't play it. I mean, that's essentially what it is, right? You want to play this game really bad, and you can't. Did people get mad about that back then, or just we just didn't have a place to vent about that?
I think it was just more, hey, you know, that's why they invented pre-orders, you know. And I remember I had a couple people who did get angry, but for the most part, people were like, oh, I missed my chance. And I remember working – when I worked at Electronics Boutique, I actually did occasionally sneak a copy to some – not theft, but I would bump somebody up the list if they had a really good sob story. Like one guy said he was trying to get it for his kid's birthday. True? Not true? I don't know. But he seemed sincere, so I kind of pulled some strings because, you know, that's how I likes to get down. But
that's a very sweet story. That's neat.
Talk amongst yourselves. I'm all for Klimt.
Oh, God.
No, I'm saying – but, you know – I think people didn't get angry about it. They just understood that, hey, you know, that's kind of how it works. They might not have it. The 7 million people trying to get on a server might cause an issue the first day. It just seems something that people should kind of, you know, get over.
Yeah, I mean, it should be that what they should do, here's what they should do, is they should turn it into like the Apple Store thing, where it turns into like a community just upon itself for those waiting diehard fans, you know, where it's like, you know, it's almost like a concert when you wait in line for a new Apple phone or something, you know, it's like,
yeah,
hey man, I've been waiting here since like whatever, you know, they should have some way of letting that rage like deal with itself in a constructive way. And that could maybe be it. Like, I don't know what, maybe some lesser game server that doesn't tax it as much. Like you play some, maybe you play the original WoW. Maybe it doesn't take up as much server space so they can put those angry nerds like in a cheaper server until the real server is ready. I don't know. Just yeah, channel it. Something. I'm just saying, channel this nerd rage into something constructive.
If only we could, right?
Wow.
So speaking of, well, not necessarily irate, but certainly in terms of really. So there's a Kickstarter. I'm reading this from PC Games N. I think I'm saying that right. .com. There's a Kickstarter alike site called Gambitious. Gambitious that launched today. Today being, oh, actually today. Okay. And amongst its initial roster of would-be video games is an FPS from a Texas-based studio. That studio is named 3D Realms. I'll give everybody a moment to let that sink in, and then we'll see who actually remembers why that's a name that people – it still lives in infamy.
Duke Nukem Forever.
That's the one. So they're basically asking people for money to, hey, we really mean it this time. We're going to release whatever this thing is, Earth No More, I believe it's going to be called. And has only been canceled once, it says, in 2009. So I said, I don't know if there's much of a topic here, but you have to admire the sheer audacity of 3D Realms, don't you? For this one? I can't even be angry at them.
Yeah, they've got hope. Endless hope.
What's funny about it is that this Gambitious service for Kickstarter is saying that there's no requirement for them to list risks. So there's no way to tell that the supporters whether or not there's going to be a fail or whether or not there's something to look out for. It's just go ahead and give us money and we'll see if we can put this out.
Well, I think that's a problem normally for Gambitious, but I think the fact that it's by 3D Realms should be all the risk you need right there. I mean,
well, there is that.
It's right there in the title this time. Oh, man. That's – did they think people might have forgotten by now, or do you, I'm just blown away by this one. It's like I said, it's so audacious that it's funny.
Too soon. Too soon. Just too soon.
Well, maybe they're hoping that Gearbox will donate them a lot of money and then they'll finish it off for them. Maybe it's all a big plan.
No, maybe. I don't want my Gearbox anywhere near 3D Realms.
Ooh, you don't want your Wii U anywhere near a Gearbox either. Oh, wait a second.
Oh, man.
I said I wasn't going to tell Wii U jokes today.
Wow.
I'm sorry. We have guests, and I'm behaving like this.
Yes, you are. And even funnier part here is maybe Gearbox, or maybe 3D Realms is raising this money to actually just give it to Gearbox as a, I'm sorry.
Hey,
that kind of thing.
I have two gaming conspiracy theories now. I had one, but now I have two. So my first one is Randy Pitchford is the shadow owner of 3D Realms. So maybe that's that. It's all just a sneaky backroom deal. Here's my other theory. I came up with this theory this weekend, and tell me, I think it's just plausible enough that it could be true. Picture it. Runic Games, right? We all love Torchlight, so I'm not picking on them. But Max was worked with on Diablo 1 and 2, correct?
Yes.
Did a lot of the team. I picture a meeting that went thusly. He was back in wherever, in what, Seattle? He's in with the Blizzard people. They're all having a coffee somewhere because I think you're required to drink coffee in Seattle. And they're sitting around talking, and they're like, hey, Max, we got an idea. Oh, man, how's Diablo 3 coming along? Oh, good. How's Torchlight coming along? Oh, you know, delayed. You know, we're getting there. We're getting there. Another year or so, we'll get it. So what we're thinking, though, with Diablo, we're thinking we want to do it online only. So that way, if we have hot fixes, if there's anything we need to do and we need to accomplish quickly, we can get a patch out there immediately. We don't drop the servers and people don't have to spend a lot of time downloading patches. We can hot fix stuff. It's a great idea. And Max goes, huh, that is brilliant, guys. Go for it. Yes, always online, definitely. And you guys should number your errors. Don't tell anybody what it means. Just call, you know, like, servers down. What are the chances of that? Call that, like, 37. That's my conspiracy theory. And then he went immediately running as fast as his little legs would carry him back to Runic and said, guys, that always online thing? We're not doing it. That's my theory.
I'm a little stuck at the whole little legs thing. You've met Max in person.
Yes, fine. He's a lot taller. That's my theory. That he went, guys, yeah, you should totally do that. I told them they should make it always online. And plausible?
I think you've got a book. Like, you can just write for this. I think you've got a murder mystery.
I think so. Dave, our job is to get Wonder extremely drunk, and she will spill.
You know what? You don't have to actually get her extremely drunk. All you got to do is get a hold of her when she's recording hoes and shows.
Yeah, no, shows the personality I've seen in her, you just need to tell her a joke and she'll spill anything.
Oh, man. So, yes, we've had gaming conspiracy theories today. We've mocked far more developers, really, than we should have. We're not nice. So, Christopher, what is next for you? You've just released City Tuesday. Are you just going to take a break for a while? Do you already have your next idea percolating and like you're already working on it? Can you give us any idea of where you're headed next?
Yeah, well, like I said, PC release. I really want to get one out just because, yeah, I mean, I you never realize until people start asking, like, how many people just play exclusively on PC, which is, you know, I kind of knew it was out there, but I didn't think they cared about little Xbox games or whatever. So yeah, definitely going to be working on a PC release. So like I said, I have no clue how long that's going to take, but it's not going to be any new weird content like a Terraria, Switchery or anything.
DRM free, I understand.
Yeah. DRM free, just because I'm too lazy to figure out how that works.
You might want to market that differently when you actually go to press with that, but you know.
Yeah, well, I'll write a scathing blog post about how I think it's in our God-given right to play video games whenever we want. So maybe I'll turn my apathy into rage. That's
there you go.
Success right there.
So really quick, you say you want to bring it to PC. Are you thinking Steam Greenlight at all?
No. Oh, God, no. Not at all. I mean, well, the reason is because it's a short game. It's like 20 minutes. It's like a small student indie film is the way it is. And the stuff that gets through Greenlight is like epic. And it's essentially games like Minecraft, I think, where people get this idea. See, Greenlight and Kickstarter, all this stuff is actually dream fulfillment. You are betting on a dream. Mm-hmm. And gamers work up stuff. And my game's already on Xbox. You could play it at your friend's house if you don't have an Xbox. And so the dream is dead. Like, I mean, they can't think of anything. They can't like dream up in their mind anymore about what it could be. And that's what Kickstarter is, and that's what Greenlight is. It's like the stuff that's successful is people dreaming up what it could be. And so my game just wouldn't be on Steam, and I'd have to polish the hell out of it to be on Steam. I don't want to be on Steam. You know, it's just too much work. So I think what it's going to be is I'm going to put it out on one of those other services like Desura or something if they'll have me. I think they do. I think they accept everybody. They're like community college of Steam, right?
I mean, if Steam's I could make the... a suggestion, there's a new service coming out here, IndieBundle.org. They're actually based locally for us. They're based Schenectady, New York. And they're starting to do a little bit here and there, and I could possibly put you in contact with them.
Yeah, please do. I'm writing that down. IndieBundle.com, is that what it is?
.org.
.org, okay. Yep. Wow. Yeah, that's good. I haven't researched you know, how I'm going to release it. I mean, that's a great thing about nowadays is there's plenty of ways to release your digital content. So yeah, definitely that. So, and then I bought a Mac and I'm going to make an iPhone game. So I think that's my next thing. I don't even know what this game is going to be, but I've still got to figure out how to use a Mac because the last Mac I had was an Apple Macintosh, the original one with the big fat screen thing. That original Macintosh was my Mac. So I've got to figure out what they've changed since that version. So
wait a second. Wait, Luke.
Yeah.
Luke, did he just say he bought a Mac?
Yeah, he did.
Christopher, I'm sorry. You're dead to me now. Honestly, I'm kidding. Wow. I'm kidding.
Well, do you guys play iPhone games, phone games, either Android or anything?
I'm the iOS guy here.
I don't have a smartphone. I have a couple of dumb phones.
Yeah, I didn't have a smartphone until my parents got one, and then I was like, oh God, I got to get one now. You can't let your parents beat you to the technological punch. So I got one.
That's happening to me soon, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I like them. I mean, they're cool. I think, the cool thing about an iPhone is that it is a screen that you can take anywhere. And before, remember Tamagotchis? Think about how it used to be, like, to make a game that you could carry anywhere and play at any time, like when you're waiting for the doctors, you would have to manufacture a screen. You would have to, like, figure out you'd have to get, like, an industrial engineer to build a plastic case for you. You'd have to build a keychain. You have to do all this stuff just to make a stupid game about taking care of an animal. But now with iPhones, you could make a game about, like, this little animal that you take care of, and you don't have to worry about building plastic cases that have keychains that you can hook onto stuff. You don't have to do all that. You just make an app and put it on the App Store. It's like, it is amazing where we are nowadays that you don't have to do all that. So
yeah, I never thought about it that way before. That is actually really brilliant.
I mean, think about the other things, like all these weird gadgets that you'd have to get in the 90s to do something. I remember my grandparents gave me this thing. It's like a dictionary lookup thing.
Oh yeah.
It was like I thought it was amazing because it was a dictionary, but it was electronic. Like, you think of how much manufacturing you would have to do to make that. They had to make the plastic case, the screen, all that searching stuff. It wasn't internet connected. Now you could just make a dictionary app. Like, it's amazing. It took basically manufacturing of a screen out and they universalized it. And now all you have to do is write the software that runs this universal screen. So you can come up with anything and have it out and about, which is, I think, is a beautiful thing. We don't have to do that anymore. So, yeah, I'm totally excited about it. Totally jazzed.
That actually, I've never really thought about it before. Whoa.
That didn't sound good.
You startled Dave so much he dropped stuff.
I blew minds. I thought that was his mind exploding.
I got worried there for a second, actually. I really did think it was his mind exploding.
Dave, speak to us. Or he's okay.
I am.
Whoa, sorry to blow minds here, guys. Sorry about that. I'll keep it to a low mind-blowing revelations here.
All right, so I have one more topic. I don't know whether we have time to go into this now or if it's something, Chris, I don't know if we can have you back at some point or if it's something. So let me introduce it real quick and we'll see whether or not we want to have you back or it's something that we should just think about. So we were trying to define indie developer a while ago, you know, and obviously, you know, the broadest definition is, you know, independent of the big studio. So somebody who's not EA, not Ubisoft or whatever. My question now is, do we have to redefine it? Is Mojang indie still? Is Edmund McMillen still indie at this point? Or are they corporations in and of themselves because of the immense success they've had? Can you really call Minecraft an indie game anymore? Did I just blow people's minds, or
do you want me to drop my mouse again?
If you want, that I could use a stinger right there. Sure. Oh man.
I think the wind just went right through my ears and out the other end. I think I just, well, that's, yeah, it didn't blow my mind. It was just, I think it emptied it. I'm trying to decide all these things.
Like, I've rendered us speechless.
I know. Yeah.
I said it might be too deep a topic to end a show on, but I'm just kind of curious about that. If that's, you know, do we have to redefine indie at this point?
Okay, here's what my thing is. If you ever list a feature of dual wielding, you are no longer indie.
Huh.
That's my separation. If one of your claims for your game that makes it awesome, your elevator pitch, if your elevator pitch includes dual wielding, no longer indie.
That's why? I've got to ask why. Because
I think it means you ran out of ideas.
I think if your title is less than three syllables, like Warfighter, or, you know, three syllables or less, Warfighter, I think right there, that means you're no longer indie.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That's a good one.
Because now there's Warface.
What's Warface?
I forget which one. I saw that in Game Informer or one of those. So now I'm waiting for War Bullets to come out. So what do you got? Anybody else? Thoughts on this?
I don't know. It's almost a loaded question. Is Mojang considered indie still when he's going and dumping thousands of dollars into other Kickstarter projects?
Well, I mean, his extracurricular activities don't really measure into that. I mean, I think
if it weren't for his game, he wouldn't have the money to do that.
But just in terms of, would you consider? Are they just in terms of what they produce and the success they've had? Okay, so don't even use Mojang. Is Edmund McMillan still indie?
I would say yes.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a studio that's not owned by a major publisher, right?
Right.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, he's indie.
So I'm just wondering, you know, is it, when do we reach that point where these indies become so successful that they are their own giant publishing houses, just quote unquote?
When EA or Activision decides to buy you.
That's true. I mean, my other example, Fox, was it Fox Searchlight? Is that for indie films? And, or, you know, are they indie anymore? Or is certainly Miramax is no longer really an indie film studio, even though that's the way they started. So I'm just kind of curious what the term even means anymore. So just thought I'd throw that out there. Discuss on the forums. Show your work.
We have forums.
Shh. It's a secret to everybody. Oh, a Zelda reference too. Wow. I think this is a good place to stop because apparently I'm starting to crack up a little bit.
Yes, you are.
You're going to blow minds, man.
Oh, yeah, man.
Wow.
So Christopher Zukowski, maker of City Tuesday for XBLIG, thank you again so much. Give the plug one more time.
City Tuesday on the Xbox Live Marketplace. Best place to go get it is just Google Xbox Live Marketplace and then search City Tuesday. Don't even go through the menus on Xbox Live. You're never going to find it. You're going to be a madman looking for it.
Once again, we will have the link posted up in the show notes.
And follow me on AdventureMTN on Twitter. That's it.
And you can ask him directly, or you can ask us if you see us on Twitter. Hey, how do I buy City Tuesday? And we will hook you up.
I will answer that question every single time if you ask me.
All right.
How do we buy City Tuesday? Sorry, I had
to. And then I will send a link. It's like xbox.com/353a/en/US. You know, it's like crazy. Like, it's crazy. I don't even know why they do that. I wish it was like xbox.com/CityTuesday. Boom, right there. That's the way it should be.
I think it should.
Yeah, come on, guys.
In a perfect world.
Yeah. Well, anyway, gentlemen, thank you again so much for being part of the big podcast, and we look forward to anybody's comments. Luke, why don't you give them all the ways they can get a hold of us if they are so inclined?
To get a hold of us, you can leave a comment on the website, www.justpressstart.net. You can leave us feedback in iTunes, which would be most appreciated. In fact, I'd love lots and lots of feedback in iTunes. You can get you can listen to us on Stitcher Radio. You can email us. I'm Zesserox@justpressstart.net. Jeff is Jeff@justpressstart.net. And Dave, go figure, is Dave@justpressstart.net. Why I'm not.
You're the only one who had to be difficult. You know that?
Because back then I was worried about my students finding me. Come on now.
I'm just saying.
Get at me, yo.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
And then Jeff is JPS Jeff Ort on Twitter. Dave is @DaveDoe. I am @JPSSRox. And don't forget, we have Extra Life going on. extra-life.org/team/JPS Game Podcast, I hope?
JPS Podcast.
JPS podcast. There you go. So please sign up.
We're starting to fill up for the LAN, so you guys need to sign up if you want to do this thing.
Yes.
Oh, man. That sounds awesome. I didn't know you guys were doing a LAN. Sorry to interrupt, but wow.
We're doing a LAN for actually the Children's Miracle Network. We're doing it in we're coinciding it with Extra Life on October 20th. So we're raising money for a hospital and doing the LAN party for the hospital. Basically.
Oh, that's you guys are awesome. I love this podcast.
We try.
Well, if you want to fly out from Arizona, if you're not busy on the
Synecdoche.
Nice. So, but anyhow, well, that's all the ways you can get a hold of us.
We're going to have an Xbox there, so perhaps we can be running City Tuesday on that machine.
Yeah, he can play competitive City Tuesday.
How fast can you get through it?
You know, City Tuesday would be a much better game, much like Borderlands 2, if it offered the competitive multiplayer the way the Calls of Duty.
And dual wielding.
Gotta have dual wielding.
But then you lose your indie cred, so, you know.
Hey, Borderlands 2 is horrible because it's not Black Ops 2.
Ugh. Well, we'll be getting into that and many more topics next week on Just Press Start. So, catch you later.
Bye.